and have it abundantly.
Thank you. Some of you have heard of my affair with butterflies. It began after I had been at a quiet retreat at a convent in Archibald Street in Lynham, not far from where Benedictus gathers, many, many years ago. I decided to buy some butterfly jewellery from Beaver Gallery to symbolise my leaving home and treading lightly on the earth. Years later, when I was ordained deacon in the Anglican Church in 1989, some dear friends made me a butterfly stole, embroidering a stunning Ulysses butterfly on its ends. It has recently been repaired by Kate Campbell. Ulysses butterflies are a symbol of the traveller, the pilgrim, and the butterfly a symbol of resurrection, new life. Years later again, in 2000, I was preaching at the midnight service at St James King Street in Sydney when a huge orange swallowtail butterfly fluttered around the church at midnight in the middle of Sydney, in the middle of the church during my sermon. I stopped what I was saying and looked and said, well, what is that butterfly doing here? It's an Easter symbol, not Christmas. Then I went on with my sermon. A week later, I spoke of butterflies in my sermon. And then, on the 5th of January, the eve of the Feast of the Epiphany, I had a phone call from the one who was to become my beloved and my husband. I said, I'm just looking for my butterfly sermon to send to Mum. And he said, have I told you my butterfly story? It turns out that when his wife was dying a year before, he had bought her a beautiful white butterfly nightgown inlaid with embroidered butterflies. Just after she died in the hospital in the south of Sydney, Nikolai was standing on the concrete balcony watching a boat that had been there all week sail out to sea. An orange butterfly landed beside his hand on the balustrade. What's that doing here, of all places, he wondered. When he made the connection between the butterfly and what his wife was wearing, the butterfly danced a figure of eight and flew away. He realized that his wife, Ellie, was saying goodbye and that all would be well. A year to the day, day of her burial, a year later on Christmas Eve, that huge orange butterfly had appeared in St James King Street, where he was in the congregation with his daughter Kate. And 2 weeks later, he invited me out. But the journey continues. Sally Mordyke made the beautiful butterfly quilt that you can see behind Nikolai's head. She gave it to me when I was priest at Holy Covenant in Jamison in Canberra, and I hung it in the church there until I left and moved to Gippsland. I took it with me to Gippsland and hung it in my office. When we moved back to Canberra just before Christmas last year, we decided to put it in my meditation room, my spiritual direction room, and Nikolai and I ended up sitting in front of it each day for morning and evening meditation. It's a wonderful symbol of hope and new life, don't you think? so vibrant and alive. I came that you may have life, life in all its fullness, Jesus of St. John's Gospel said. This little verse has found its way into my life and formed it. What does it mean, Jesus saying, I came, God with us, God enfleshed, God human, God among us, within us, between us, God who gets what it's like to be human, came that we may have abundant life. I came that you may have life. I think that we would have life without Jesus, that we may have a beautiful, rich life, life with its shitty times and its exuberant times, with its quiet joys, desperation, confusion, grief, pain and joy. Somehow for me, a life of faith invites more depth somehow. Life is a very rich tapestry, and the invitation is to really live our lives. Surely you might say we can do no other, but do we? Do we really live? Jesus' invitation is to live life in its fullness. That is, to sit in whatever is happening to us, whatever our choices, to sit with, to pay attention, to suck the juice out of it. Life in all its fullness, whether I am grieving, in love, starting a new job, trying hard to make ends meet, celebrating the birth of a child or a grandchild, honouring the death of someone I love. Life in its fullness, living each day, knowing God desires and enables that fullness is helpful as I rest in the divine in meditation. So here I am at Benedictus, 10 years on. I was there at the beginning, and here I am again, 10 years later, opening to this community. I've been part of evening meditation for a while now. It has become part of my daily practice of prayer alongside morning meditation at 8:15 a.m. every day on Zoom. There have been some gifts in this COVID time. Nikolai and I also say morning prayer using the Northumbria community liturgy when we first wake up. And after that time of prayer, then reading, writing and reflection, I always walk. Now I walk on Lina Ridge behind my home. I do miss walking around the lakes in Sale in Victoria, where we were for 5 years. These practices open me to the fullness of life, to the fullness of the spiritual, bodily life that I live. In the morning, I hear wrens twittering in the background. I smell the fresh, damp eucalypts. I see the grass bowed over with raindrops. I feel the sun on my skin. This is life at the beginning of 2022. I wonder what fullness of life will mean for me this year. I was born in a small country town in rural New South Wales. I was born in Cowra, a place I went back to when I was newly married to Nikolai when I was in my early 40s. Time with Nikolai these past 20 years has been a time of joy, of being loved. It hasn't always been easy. We are both strong people and broken people, but we have both learned so much and lived the fullness. 20 years before that, when I was 19, my boyfriend, David Stegman, was killed in a car accident in Victoria. Much of the first part of my life was living with grief. There was sadness. There was pain. It was a roller coaster. And I used to go down to the lake to remember David, a rower, who was also an artist and studying forestry at AMU. After school, I went to Japan as an exchange student. I lived with a Buddhist family, a Shinto family, a Christian family, and I learned about different faiths and cultures. I learned about bowing rather than shaking hands, something that we do a bit of these days. I learned about eating with chopsticks rather than with a knife and fork. And I learned about honour and reverence and beauty, an aesthetic of clarity. When I was learning tea ceremony, I learned about just doing what is necessary with reverence and honour in a spirit of service. After Japan, I did a science degree at AMU in psychology and biochemistry. I thought I'd be a teacher then, after David died, like his dad. But I studied social work at the Trobe in Melbourne, which I'd wanted to do for ages. I worked as a social worker in adoptions and foster care with small migrant communities and with the Department of Immigration. Then, in 1987, I began studying theology at St. Mark's in Canberra and ended up being one of the first women ordained in the Anglican Church of Australia. And that's another story. My passions are silence, spiritual direction, and interplay, improvised dance, song, and storytelling. Great for recovering serious people. Last year, at Easter, I was exhausted. I went on a retreat to rest, to listen, to discern. Do I stay, or is it time to let go? I came down to where I was going to settle. That couldn't be in Sale, because I have no family there, and it's not done to stay in the parish where you were working. Canberra seemed to me to be the place to settle. COVID heightened my desire to be close to my family. Canberra is where I have spent most of my life. It is where my 95-year-old father lives, where many of my family and friends live. It is a place where I feel comfortable. I enjoy the change of seasons. I love the gallery, the botanic gardens, the library, the lake. And so we moved here, Nikolai, Annie, our cat, and I, 2 months ago, after Nikolai had finished his year at school. And then Nikolai did his PhD Viva online 2 days later amidst the boxes. We moved back into the home we bought in 2004, but it has taken time to settle. The first time I really felt at home again was last Saturday during the Benedictus service at St. Ninian's, sitting, looking out at the garden, enjoying the beauty, and then hearing Sarah's reflection brought me to tears. Last year, when Sarah talked to me about working at Benedictus, there was a deep resonance. I had been talking to a mentor in my discerning about what I was being called to. One question my mentor had asked me back in August was, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you most like to do? It's a question worth considering. I wrote, work as a spiritual director, retreat leader, using tools like interplay and spiritual direction to lead, letting others do the practical work, that is the admin support, but working as part of a retreat team in a beautiful setting to create space for transformation and growth. Build a small, creative, contemplative community. Benedictus is not exactly a retreat centre, but it is a space for transformation and growth, honouring the deep things of life. So here I am, among you, as part of this contemplative community, here to meditate, to make a positive difference in our world, be a spiritual companion, to support Sarah, to support you, to bring who I am to this enterprise of God, living life in all its fullness, supported by the Christ, supported by God, within, around, between. Mystery. Bringing this butterfly symbol of possibilities and colour, and the image I shared last week of the deep well, fed by an underground stream.